Welcome to Dinner Audio Interview 2961.
Identify a person who has had a significant influence on you and explain the influence.
That would be my best friend. He's been my best friend since about the third grade. And we, at a very early age, just kind of clicked together on a level that, it was sort of a level of mutual respect. And we both recognized that each of us wanted to do a lot with our lives. And so when we got a little bit older, we kind of developed a game out of life. And we have a point system that we use, basically. And the more extreme the thing it is that we go out to do, first of all, we get points for attempting it. And then we get points for actually succeeding. And then we actually get some points for failing, too, if we fail. And it's just whatever crazy shenanigans we get into. And basically, the point of the game is that both of us recognize we have like a limited time on the earth, and we have to fill it with as much stuff as possible because we don't want to have any regrets that we didn't, you know, do all the insane, ridiculous ideas that we had when we were kids. And so we're still doing some of those things. I think I'm ahead a little bit, actually. I think I'm winning by just a hair.
Who do you aspire to be?
I think I aspire to be pretty much like myself now, just better. I think that growth and maturation will, in my life, equate to me agreeing on what my favorite parts of myself are and trying to do everything that I can to amplify those. And I think I'd like to be more compassionate, and I would like to not sweat the small stuff, which is I'm pretty good at already. I would like to be the person who gets cut off in traffic and does not have any reaction whatsoever.
Has there ever been anyone in your life who you admire or would consider a role model? If so, what attributes led to your selection?
Definitely. My physics teacher in high school was probably the most intelligent person I've ever met in my life. And she taught me all about physics, which was great because I was very interested in it. And we had a great time, but after class, she had tons of work to do all the time, but she would always sit and talk with me for, like, even after school, she would sit and talk to me for an hour or sometimes 2 hours just about theories and different things that were going on in the world. And she was teaching me a lot of the applicability as opposed to the equations and all that stuff like that. And we would sit, and I actually came up with some of my own theories, like, just based off of her, and I would run them by her, and she was like, that's actually kind of sound. And she taught me how to think analytically, more so than any other person I've ever met. And she knows how to think. She questions everything. She's a great human being, and definitely huge influence.
Do you think that someone who looked at your donor profile would have a good picture of the kind of person you are? If not, what would you add to accurately describe yourself?
I think they would. I think they would have a pretty good... I tend to write a lot, so I hope so.
How would you describe your personality?
How does one describe one's own personality? Well, I can tell you that I don't sweat the small stuff too much. Not just keeping a cool head in kind of a rough situation, but also just like from day-to-day things, I try to keep everything in perspective and actually leave little reminders like all over my life to keep things into perspective, how much worse things can get and are for people, and how ridiculous it is that I'm upset because someone's taking too long at the grocery store or whatever. Just try to take life kind of easy. Not lazy, but easy.
What lessons growing up did your parents teach you that have had a significant impact on your life?
They taught me that there were kids in China who would kill to have the food that I do, and then I need to clean my plate every single meal. Which now I have a complex where I have to eat everything that someone sets in front of me. They have since rescinded that and decided that was bad. parenting on their behalf. But my dad especially, because me and my dad, we didn't have the best relationship growing up. But it got a lot better as I started getting older. And he taught me, and he was teaching me this my entire life. I just didn't realize it because I was too busy, you know, being annoyed by him. But he taught me that under no circumstances should you ever settle for less than what you deserve and what you think you should have. And he made some poor decisions early on in his life, and he could not have everything that he wanted for himself. And it was his goal to make sure that that wasn't going to happen with his kids. And he, you know, I resisted, but as good children do, but that message, I would say, was driven home.
What kind of values did your parents instill in you that you'd like to pass on to your own children?
Both of my parents work very hard. They always have, and I think probably my birth was the spur for some of that, because they didn't always used to work super hard when they were kids, but they, especially when I came into life, they buckled down, both of them, and they busted it, and they are still both working very hard, but they don't hate what they do. They are not miserable, and they have managed to take the... Well, you hear some people, they just hate what they do, and they complain about what they do, and they're at work all the time, they don't want to be, and they're embittered by it, and they have regrets and stuff like that. Well, my parents have shown me, basically, and I would love to show my kids someday, that working hard does not necessarily mean being miserable. You can put in a hard day's work, be proud of it, and then go do whatever you want to do. And just that and just everything else, just in everything, put your all into it, because nothing worth doing is worth doing, you know, at half speed, basically.
What do you like to do when you're spending time with your family?
We crack open a beer and chat. That's what we like to do. We like to catch up, we like to talk and laugh and make jokes and just spend time together. We'll watch movies sometimes, but we talk all through the movies, because they're always movies we've seen thousands of times before. And we just like, you know, fellowship with one another, pretty much.
Does any specific attribute, quality, or skill distinguish you from everyone else? How did you develop this attribute?
I don't know how I developed... I may have developed it because I used to be this guy. But I can get along with just about anybody. I'd say a good example of that is I was doing a thing last year where I had to be with the same group of people for a very, 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 very long time. Just those group of people. And tensions can mount in that kind of a setting. And we had one guy who, God bless him, just couldn't get it together. And he got on everybody's nerves. He got on my nerves. Just every little thing that he would say was just somehow wrong. And I watched it happen is he eventually became the scapegoat for the frustrations of everybody in the group. And it wasn't fair. And sometimes he needed to be spoken to about something he did that was inappropriate, but it got to the point where most of the time it was just people were tired and cranky, and this guy was their punching bag. And I almost fell into it a little bit. You know, I had some sharp words that I probably could have thought about a little bit longer, but we were out there for a long time. I actually did, by the end of it, manage to get along with this guy and manage to become one of his two friends on this crew of 10. And again, you know, you can't waste a whole lot of time sweating the small stuff and holding people to a standard that doesn't exist, pretty much.
What do you think are the most admirable qualities a person can have, and why?
I would say admirable. I would say anybody who encounters a situation and their first response is to think about the other person in that situation and not themselves. What's wrong with the other person or how the other person can benefit instead of what's wrong with them or how they can benefit. I think that's just about the most admirable quality that I know of.
What quality do you like best in yourself, and what do you like the least?
I would say I like best. I have a very, 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 very high value on friendship. When someone becomes my friend, or when I get to know someone, which is pretty easy, I love to make friends. I love to make new friends and include new people in my life, and I have a very, very, very high value on that. I am extremely fiercely loyal to my friends, and because I like to make them, I have a lot of them, and I think I probably owe that to them. They probably fostered that in me, because I probably have the best, most tight group of tightly knit group of friends that I've ever seen, and they make life worth living some days. The quality I like least in myself, I have a problem with being afraid of failure, and it's more than just me not achieving whatever I set out to achieve or me not getting what I want. It's like embarrassing or something. Just being afraid of not only me failing, but others watching me fail, and how that's going to change their opinion of me. Normally, I'm very good about not caring what people think about me, but when it comes to success and my abilities to accomplish, I guess it's different. And I've been told just a billion times that I don't need to be afraid of that. But it's something I'm working on.
What is your favorite holiday and why?
Christmas. Christmas, Christmas, Christmas is, like, to me, like, better than all the other holidays combined. It reminds me of absolutely everything in my life as a child that I cherish, and the nostalgia is, like, palpable. Every single time I see the first candy cane in a Walmart or whatever, every single year, like, I get so excited. It's ridiculous. And I just love the lights and the spirit and the singing and just everything about it is it's just I guess it was just very magical growing up, and it still is.
Tell me about some activities you enjoyed in your childhood.
I spent a lot, especially when I was a young child, I spent a lot, maybe the majority of my time, playing make-believe with whoever would play with me. That was pretty much it. Like, that was, I would read, and then I would be fueled up to go play make-believe after I read stuff. And, we would pretty much just go do whatever we wanted to, and it always involved hitting each other with sticks and, having a great time.
What types of books did you enjoy in your childhood? Did you have a favorite book?
My favorite book as a child, and maybe still is, it was Wild, Where the Wild Things Are. Coolest book of all time. That's pretty much all I have to say about it. That kid was me when I was that age. I didn't wear footy pajamas, but for all the rest of the purposes, that kid was me.
Tell me what activities you enjoy on your free time and why you enjoy them.
Don't really know if I have a certain activity that I like to that I just jump, my mind jumps to when I have free time, but I do like to be with my friends, which is funny because I am actually clinically a pretty introverted person. Feel refreshed after being alone for a long time with my thoughts, but it just, the most fun to me in the world is being able to spend time with my friends. Just, it doesn't matter what we're doing, just as long as I'm with the people I care about. Family's pretty much the same way. I consider them friends instead of family, even though they aren't my family. And I consider it's all interchangeable.
What is your ideal way to relax on the weekends?
My ideal way to relax, I have to have everything pretty much taken care of. I have to not have to worry about anything else that day. And then pretty much just get in the car, or not. Just go outside and kind of see what happens. It's like I've made friends doing that. I have heard amazing stories from strangers doing that. Always have something to write about when I come home after doing something like that. I like really, really poorly planned camping trips. They're like my favorite thing to do.
Has anyone ever told you that you resemble a particular celebrity?
Yeah. Back when I was doing a lot of theater, I had to shave all the time. And I got, especially from profile, I guess, I got that I looked like Orlando Bloom no less than 24 times. It was funny at first, and then I was, like, disgusted by it. And so I keep my beard really heavy now so that I stop hearing.
What is your favorite period in history and why?
I would actually have to say, as neat as some of them have been and as historically relevant as some of them have been, I would have to say that this is actually my favorite period in history. For one, because I'm in it, which is important to me. And two, I would say that out of all the reading I've done about our history, there's probably never been more of a fostered spirit of just reaching out to other people than in this day and age. We have the resources and the technology, and most importantly, we have the will in broad, sweeping droves of people who are willing to sacrifice a lot of their time to go out and just help whoever needs help. And that's for the first time we've been able to cross oceans really, really, really easily with this kind of mentality in mind. And it's meant so much for just people who would normally never lay eyes on this compassionate stranger. That's kind of the, I guess, the spirit of the age that I really, really, really am into. And this would have to be the best.
What is the most important thing to happen to you? How did it change you?
To ever happen to me was, I was actually driving down the highway, and I was going to see a late night movie with some friends, and I had a near miss with a semi that came up next to me and didn't see me and all this stuff, and you know, I was kind of rattled, but not that bad. I mean, that happens all the time. But I was just in the perfect introspective state of mind to where I just kind of took it and ran with it in my mind. And what ended up happening was I had this kind of crisis of mortality, like, while I'm driving down the highway, and I just started thinking about, you know, this, you know, life's gonna end someday, and regardless of what happens after that, you know, this life will definitely be over with. We see it happen all the time, and nothing's gonna change that. And that kind of, once you truly realize that, it's kind of crazy, because you don't expect to be dead the next day. You know, you expect to wake up every day like you did the day before that, because it's all you've ever known. Once I did that, it changed the way I saw my day-to-day dealings with the world and my interactions with everybody, and it was kind of a big step in the whole, you really shouldn't be upset about you running out of gas, or any stupid little trivial thing. And that, I actually got a tattoo based off of that experience, but it just helped, it helped put a whole life into perspective that was out of focus before that night, and has pretty much been in focus since then, the best it can be without me having like a really real near-death situation.
What is your biggest frustration?
My biggest frustration is that I can't do more right now. I have a lot of preparation that I have to do, and I have things that I guess are my responsibilities right now that I have to take care of. I guess if I had my way, I would be just doing more with my life right now. Things, I guess, that I consider more important. And the things that I'm having to deal with right now, I guess it's just things that all grown-ups have to deal with. They just feel mundane, and I feel bogged down some days. And I am trying to I'm trying to be the architect in my life in so much that I will be able to do the things that I want to do within the next couple of years. But I guess my frustration is that I'm impatient and I want to do them all now.
Tell me what you would consider a romantic evening.
My most romantic evening, and basically what I consider a romantic evening, is basically sitting down in a very, very low-pressure environment, not at the movies, not at a fancy dinner where you dress up and stuff like that, just sitting in a secluded place, preferably outside, where you can sit and get to know another person. Because when you're, in my experience, when you are at a kind of cliche, kind of fancy dinner, movie type of thing, first of all, movies are terrible because you can't talk during movies. So you just sit there next to a person, like you sit next to strangers all the time at the movies, and it's not really a date. It's lame. But the dinner thing, a couple things wrong with that, too. First of all, you're both wanting to impress the other person, and I guess that's going to be the case in any case, but now you have to, like, use, you know, manners, and you're worried about how you're eating, and you're worried about all those little etiquette things that, you know, Cosmo writes about and all that stuff like that. And you can't really talk while you're eating either because it's disgusting. You know, so it's just not conducive to conversation at all, to getting to know the other person. I just like going outside, kind of a picnic type of thing, but not really, just to hang out. And I'd say the most romantic date I've ever been on was actually I was already dating the girl, but we went out on a date or whatever, and we were a brand new relationship, and we just took like a blanket out into this kind of grove at nighttime, and the moon was out, there weren't any clouds and stuff like that, and we just talked for probably 4 hours. That was by far my favorite.
What qualities do you look for in a potential partner?
Someone who is going to not only support me, and even if she doesn't think that what the things that I think are important, which I think ideally she would, but even if not that, she would still respect them, and she would still respect how important they are to me, and she would support me and take joy in me succeeding at those things. And also it's not going to work if I don't have someone who can laugh. It's just, that's not going to happen. It's never happened, and it won't.
Why did you decide to participate in this donor program?
It caught my eye, and I, at first, had no idea what I thought about it. And I was just kind of curious, so I just kind of looked into it, you know, and read about it, and the idea, I just wasn't sure that that's something that I wanted to do. I didn't know how I felt about just the implications there of, you know, the children and never obviously having anything to do with any of them. But then I started doing a little more research that day, and I read up on all these stories of people who had used the services successfully. And I just read about the different couples who were utilizing it, and there were people who'd been married for a long time, who'd been trying to have kids, who couldn't because of, the male's, you know, biology. There were a lot of different scenarios. There were, like, same-sex couples who wanted to utilize it, and pretty much just read all these different personal accounts of these different situations that really, after a while, kind of had me sold that it was actually a very, 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 very important service that is provided. And obviously, you can't have that service without, you know, donors. I came around pretty quickly after seeing, actually, I guess the aftermath of what this service offers, and seeing how that can make people extremely happy, and that kind of shook my inhibitions about it, and I was able to come on board pretty easy after that.
Is there a message you would like to add for recipients or offspring listening to this interview?
If you are listening to this, then obviously you are at a major, 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 major crossroad in your life, one way or another. And so I guess all I have to say is good luck, because you've got some pretty amazing times ahead of you.
This concludes Donor Audio Interview 2961.